Amen. So keep your place in Proverbs 31. Today is going to be a really easy Bible navigation day because I'm kind of losing my voice now too. We could be in trouble here in about 2 hours. Anyway, we're pretty much going to be in Proverbs the entire sermon. So just keep your place in Proverbs. Now, we're reading about, starting in Proverbs, verse number 10, we're reading about this woman. Okay, now if I was a woman, I was telling my wife this over the last week, that if I was a woman, I would just love Proverbs 31 because it's all right there, right? The whole thing for women is right there. And with guys, you know, there's lots of things in the Bible about, you know, the guys and everything, but we, you know, this one chapter pretty much encompasses, you know, everything for the women. So I want to step through Proverbs 31 today, and I want to talk about, you know, this virtuous woman. You know, women are not in charge of their family, but hopefully I can get across to you today that this woman here demonstrates how women can be an incredible blessing to their family, okay? Now, the goal of this sermon is to demonstrate the value of the virtuous woman, and if you look down at verse number 10, you know, the Bible says, who could find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. There's an incredible amount of value that the Bible puts on this virtuous woman. Today you'll be taught, you know, by feminists that the stay-at-home mom, that the Christian mom is not something that's to be valued. It's something that's to be looked down on. It's something that's to be, you know, made fun of. If you remember the LA Times article that they wrote after the Red Hot Preaching Conference this year, there was a couple sentences in there that really bothered me when they talked about the women of the church. And, you know, the women are all, you know, they're all pregnant, and they're just walking around with their children following behind them like they're, you know, like they're a mother goose with all these ducklings. And you could tell that it was a very degrading tone she was taking towards the women in the church. And that bothered me because I know, you know, the value of a woman to a family, and Proverbs 31 demonstrates that to us. Now, let's look at this woman. First, I want to turn to Titus chapter 2 and get a context of this woman. You know, I thought with that reporter, maybe I'm an optimist, but I thought when that reporter was at Verity, I was thinking, you know, she's going to see these families and she's going to see these. I figured she was some liberal feminist, but I figured, you know what, how could you come into a situation and see children and the families like they were with their mothers and their fathers and come out thinking that that was a bad thing? But it just shows you how twisted and warped this world views things when you don't look at things through the lens of God's Word, okay? So turn to Titus chapter 2, and at first I want to give you a context of the virtuous woman. And the context in Titus chapter 2 is this, that women, if you look down at verse number 5, the Bible says here, it says, women are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good. Remember that word good, because that's brought up in Proverbs. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now that's a pretty strong statement there, that women are to be these things, or the word of God is blasphemed. So to be discreet, what does it mean to be discreet? The definition of the word discreet is this: careful and circumspect in one's speech or actions, especially in order to avoid causing offense or to gain an advantage. So to be discreet is the opposite of being loud and obnoxious. And my wife and I actually just talked about this last night. We were driving through a parking lot, and there was a family that was walking across the road, and it was grandparents and parents, and then there was this little girl who you could tell was just putting on this show in the street and stopping cars, and everyone was supposed to look at her and see how cute she was. And if you notice, there's several little girls are almost encouraged to be loud and obnoxious and bossy today. It's pointed out to be cute, and you know, that something that's encouraged of small little girls today. And it's sad because that's the opposite of what the Bible teaches that a woman should be. You should not be loud and obnoxious. You should be discreet, careful, and circumspect in one speech. And we will see that with the virtuous woman here. Okay, now chaste, that just means to be pure. Okay, now let's go back to Proverbs. There's a couple things that I want to point out in verse number 10. First of all, no one can seem to find this woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? It's saying it's hard to find. She's rare. And then it says, you know, this shows that God understands economics too. It says her price is far above rubies. It doesn't say you can buy her with rubies. It says her price is above rubies. So something that is extremely rare is going to be extremely valuable. Okay, and that is this woman right here. Now tonight, I was going to do this next Sunday, but since Garrett can't speak, we're going to talk about somebody who has found this and has found this woman, because there's two people talked about in this chapter. So we're going to talk about the virtuous woman, what we're talking about right now, and then tonight we're going to talk about the virtuous woman's husband, who you see is also here. But I won't give that away for you. But someone has found her, okay? And we'll talk about him tonight. So if the ladies are like, you know, you're beating up on me, don't beat up on me this morning. You know what? The round is chambered for tonight. And it's an anti-aircraft round like this tall, okay? So don't worry. This is for the ladies. Now, the virtuous woman, you think, I'm not in charge of my home. You know, I'm not the boss. I'm not the leader. But when you start to look at the attributes of the virtuous woman, you will see that she is extremely valuable. But let me just say one thing. If you do not implement things that we talk about this morning, and the same goes for the sermon tonight, nothing will change. And if you say I want to be a virtuous woman and I want to work towards this, listen to these attributes, compare them to yourself, and decide, hey, I could be different in this area. I could change in this area. So the first thing that we see is that she's extremely rare, okay, which makes her valuable. The second thing we see, if we go down to verse number 11, is that this woman is trustworthy. She's very trustworthy. Look down at verse number 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Spoil means extra. He will have no need for extra. And then in verse number 12, it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Remember in Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, it says that it uses that same word, good. So he knows this man. Here we see her husband, and he completely trusts her. He completely trusts this woman because he knows that she will do him good all the days of her life. He knows that she always has his back, no matter what. Now, there's two types of wives out there, and I've met many of the other type of wife, usually out in the workforce, by the way, which is where women shouldn't be anyway. But there's this woman out there that is always trashing her husband. That is the opposite of the virtuous woman. You know, this is the type of woman that you'll see on TV shows, on comedies. You know, the woman that's always just belittling her idiot husband. And the husband's always an idiot, by the way, on those shows. He's portrayed as some foolish idiot. And his wife, who's the strong, smart one, is just constantly berating him and belittling him. So it's no shock that this is what society is producing today, okay? But on the other hand, you have this woman. How many of you have ever met this woman who's just constantly just talking about her husband, just like, oh, my husband this, and my husband this, and just constantly praising her husband to the point where it's annoying. But you know what I think when I meet that woman? I'm like, you know what? Good for that guy. Because maybe she shouldn't be out bragging up her husband and boasting about her husband, but that is a woman who has her husband's back. And she's constantly talking about him, and I'm not saying this is what the virtuous woman does, but I'm just saying that this is a woman who has her husband's back, that she is doing him good, okay? And then you'll see this, she has character. Look at the last verse, the last part of verse number 12, is that she will do him good all the days of her life. Look, she has character. She has staying power. She will be with him all the days of her life. Look, I'm glad personally that this was listed first, because I cannot tell you the value of knowing that I can trust my wife. The value of knowing that when I go off to work and that when I go off into this world to do what I have to do as a man, which we'll talk about tonight, that things, I just can fully just trust her. Amen. It is such a relief to me. And single men, this is what you need to look for. Because it allows you to better do your job, to better go out and handle the stupid things that you need to handle, and deal with the wickedness of this world in the best way that you can as a Christian man, to just to know that I can just trust my wife and that all those things are taken care of. This is the virtuous woman, folks. The house, the education, the family, the children, it's all just taken care of. He just trusts her. He just trusts her. He leads her, but he trusts her. Okay? Now, she's not the leader. However, when this, you know, I bet you that when this woman has something to say, I bet you that this husband in Proverbs 31 listens. You know, I bet you he does. Because he trusts her from his heart. It says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. So if there's someone that you trust from your heart, when they say something, you're going to listen to them. Okay? The next attribute I want to talk about is that this woman, and you can't miss this as you read Proverbs 31, this woman works hard. And I mean, she works physically hard. I mean, look down at verse number 17. Verse number 17, the Bible says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengthen her arms. In verse number 25, we see more of her strength. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. You know, I will get home some days and my wife is physically tired. Because running a home, managing a home, especially with children in it, is hard physical work. And this woman works hard. You say, she's busy. She's busy working hard. Doing what? You know, here's another thing that I'll see out in the world with women that work and do not stay home. I've heard this dozens of times throughout my working career. And this is, people find out my wife stays home and she doesn't work, and they will say, oh, I could just never do that. I don't know what I would do all day. And it's because that woman that said that to me, she doesn't know what she doesn't know. She doesn't know what it takes, you know, to run a house, to manage a house, because her house is not being managed. Now, the husband is to financially provide for the family. But another thing I want to point out about this woman and how she's working so hard is that the wife and this virtuous woman has a direct effect on the financial well-being of the family. Okay? And I'm going to show you that in the next few verses. But basically, if you think of your family and your economic situation in your family as a bucket, the husband has a pipe that's filling this bucket with income. And then both the husband and the wife have expenses that they're spending out of the bucket. And certain things that this woman is doing are cutting down on the outflow of that bucket. This woman, and it's very true in my family, the virtuous woman has an extreme influence and positive effect on the finances in your home. And we'll see it with this woman here. Because there's two ways to increase your family's buying power when you think about it. You can increase the flow of money in, which is basically the husband going out and getting more skilled and working harder, getting a second job. But if you've got this woman that's just spending all the money faster than he could make it, that's not going to work out well. I've seen that happen too. I've seen women completely financially destroy their family. I've seen men do it. I've seen women do it. This woman is being extremely careful with the finances of her family, and she's doing what she can to help decrease that outflow. The first thing that she's doing, if you look down at verse number 15, the Bible says she riseth also while it is night. There's more of that hard work. She's getting up before it's light out. I mean, how many women can say that I'm up when it's dark every day? That is this woman right here. And giveth meat to her household. and a portion to her maidens. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She's providing food for her family. This has a direct effect on money. A huge effect, actually. Now, if you have financial problems in your family, let me just give you a little tip right now. One of the biggest things that you can do, if you have financial problems in your family and you ever go out to eat, just stop going out to eat. That is the best way that you can, because there's no bigger waste of money than going out to a restaurant. We found this out over the last, how many weeks was it? 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks? We're living out of a camper, living out of a hotel in this move, and we're just going out. I was sick of restaurants. But you know what was really bad is when we looked at the bill for the month of restaurants. And we figured it out that once we got, and we kind of knew this, but we kind of went back into our house and we did the math on it. And basically, you're spending about 6 to 7 times the amount of money that you would spend if you just purchased food and had a wife that could prepare food and make food for the family. That's how much money you're wasting. You know, 6 or 7 times. You know, you just think about the money that a good, you know, housekeeper, your house, you know, a good virtuous woman can, by preparing food for her family, like the virtuous woman does here. You know, cooking, sadly, is becoming a lost art, you know, in society today. But, you know, the more skilled you can get at cooking, the more money you can save your family. So learn if you don't know how. You know, it'll pay dividends for your family. I did a quick math exercise. Just take a day like this when a lot of us spend most of the day at church. And just imagine if you prepared food for your family, like, and brought a lunch in and put it in the refrigerator. For a family of four to go out to some fast food restaurant, which is completely unhealthy anyway, it would basically cost you like $30 to $40. You're talking about $120 a month. You're looking at like $1,400 a year. It's a lot of money. Whereas if you prepared that money, or you prepared that food, brought it in, you would save your family about $1,100 to $1,200 every single year. Now, think about this. How long does your husband have to work to make $1,200? You know, think about that. You're spending your husband's labor. You're spending your husband's labor. How long does he have to work to make that? If you make $20 an hour, that's like 60 hours. That's like a week and a half of work. Just so you can eat at McDonald's. It seems silly, right? The second thing she can do to financially help the family when she's working hard to financially help the family is this. She's clothing the family. She's clothing the family. Look at verse number 19. I have never bought a piece of clothing for anyone in my family, ever. And I would never even attempt to try such a thing. I'd sooner build a space shuttle in my backyard than try to buy someone a piece of clothing in my family. But look at what she does. Verse number 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And then in verse number 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So there's no snow here. But she's basically, when it gets cold outside, this woman doesn't worry about it. It reminds me of the story of the Donner Party. How many of you heard that story of the Donner Party through the I-80 pass, basically? And I don't remember the year, but there was a certain woman in that family. There was this huge party of people. I don't know, it was 30, 40, 50 people. And they wanted to take a shortcut across the Sierras to come to settle California. And they took an unproven shortcut, and they left in like November. Oops. And they came through the mountain pass. And it was the worst winter in however many years. There was like 20 feet of snow up there. They couldn't get through. So basically what happened was these people got stuck there. They lost all their cattle. They didn't have any food. And then, you know, the story is like they had to eat some of the dead bodies and all this kind of stuff. But there was one, you know, many of them died. Many of the families died. But there was one family that the husband wasn't even there because he got kicked out of the party before they tried to go over the pass. The husband wasn't even there, but this woman, Mrs. Reed, it was the only family. By the time the guy got down to Sacramento, and he actually went off to fight the Mexicans for a month or so, then he came back up the mountains to get his family. His family was the only one that didn't lose anybody. And they never had to eat dead bodies or anything like that. And it was because of this woman. The mother was smart, and she rationed the food properly for the kids, and she just managed this. She kept the entire family alive. And as the story goes, if you visit the museum up on the I-80 Pass, she actually had enough food for the family to have a Christmas Eve meal for the kids, where she made some apples and things like that. The mother saved everybody. It's like, oh, you know, I'm not the leader of my family. What difference can I make? The mother is the machine that runs everything. That woman, her husband, wasn't even there. She kept that whole family alive because how smart she was at taking care of her family, keeping them with clothes when it was cold and keeping them with food when it was cold. That woman saved them. Verse number 22, she make herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. You know, my wife, I will often say to my wife, like, well, that's a great dress Ashley has, or something like that. And my wife, she like prides herself in like, oh yeah, I got it for a dollar. I joke around that we could be billionaires and my wife would still shop at thrift stores. We'll never be billionaires and I don't ever want to be one, so don't spread that rumor. But you know what I'm saying? You can get good deals on money. If you can buy a certain set of clothing for a tenth of the price that other people buy it, you're helping your family enormously. You know, there's deal. People throw stuff away at these thrift stores and all this stuff. I don't even know how it works. But she's like, oh yeah, I got it for 50 cents. I'm like, you'd never know. You know, so you have a direct, this woman has a direct effect on her family's finances. It's a huge effect, folks. You'd be shocked how much money you could waste. You could waste all your money. It doesn't even matter how much money you make. You could spend it all and just waste it all. And the older guys in the room are shaking their head. They're nodding because they know it doesn't matter how much money you make. It's how you manage that spending is the biggest variable. Organizing the home. You know, a moving example. You know, this is back to trusting in the virtuous woman. We moved, and I had to go back to work almost the same day that we moved into our house. And I just came home 3 days later, and everything was just put away. It was just perfectly organized. Like, it was just magic. But I trust in her, and she works hard. That's what the virtuous woman does. My wife calls me this week, and she's all excited, and she's like, you know what? And she didn't want me to talk about her today, but I have to use her as an example in a couple areas. But she calls me this week, and she's all excited. She's like, I figured out a way I can clean this church in 2.5 hours, all by myself. And I'm like, she's all excited that she can do it in 2.5 hours. And I'm like, that seems like a long time, and wow, you know, that's a lot of work and all this. But that's what the virtuous woman does, folks. And this sermon, you know, kind of helped me look back on, you know, some of the things that my wife does, and it helped me appreciate her. It helped me become more like the man in Proverbs 31, just studying for this sermon. The biggest thing where the virtuous woman has an impact in the family is this. Her hard work, it not only financially affects the family and financially benefits the family, but she is the majority owner in the business of educating the children. Your wife will carry the vast majority of that load. You should help when you can, but you're going to be at work. Your wife will carry the vast majority of that load. In verse number 28, look at verse number 28. We see some evidence of this. Her children ariseth up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now look, educating the children is hard work. It is very hard work. I don't even know all the exact details of it, but I know this. You can do a bad job at this. Okay, you can do a bad job at educating your children at home. And don't get me wrong, a bad job is better than the public school system. But do you want to do a bad job at educating your children? I mean, who wants to have uneducated children? But we have seen this. My wife and I have both seen teenage kids who were homeschooled who can barely read, who can't spell. And, you know, math, forget about it. No chance. We've seen it. And it's because they had a lazy homeschooling mother. So you just have to remember, you have to be a hard worker because it will directly affect how you educate your children. Okay? Total freedom, folks. You have total freedom in this homeschooling thing. It's legal here. It is more, here's a shocker, it is more legal in California. There is less restrictions in California on homeschooling than there was in North Dakota. It's wide open. But you know what total freedom means? Total freedom means total responsibility. It means when that education is done, at least from your end, when it's done and they're out of high school and they're moving on to whatever else, you know, it means that what you've produced, that's on you. That's what you've done, those curriculums, and how hard you push those things, that's on you. It's incredibly hard work. So here's, you know, here's the goal on homeschooling from my perspective, and this isn't a homeschooling sermon, but basically the homeschooling goal for our family is to produce self-starters. It's to produce children that are self-starters in their own education. It's to produce children who will continue their education by themselves throughout their life. Education doesn't end at high school. A very wise man up at Verity Baptist in Sacramento once told me, he said, you should never be done taking tests in your life. That's a great thing to say. You should always be learning new things. And that's what you should try to get into your kids by the time they get done with high school, is that they want to continue learning, continue educating themselves. These are the people, these are the kids, these are the boys that are going to run their own business one day, is these self-starting, homeschooled kids. But guess what? If you want to raise self-starting children, you have to be a self-starter yourself. You have to be a self-starter. Look back at verse number 15. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, she rises also while it is yet night. So it's no fun getting up when it's dark, right? I would love to sleep in every day. But look what it doesn't say. Her husband makes her get up while it is yet night. No, she just does it. This woman has an agenda. She has an agenda, and she knows she's got a list this long of things to do. And she knows that if I'm going to get these things done today, I got to get up at 5 in the morning. I got to get up at 6 in the morning. Because she's not doing it for fun. She's doing it because she's got things to do. She's self-starting. You know, the women will spend the vast amount of the time with the children. You know, I've said many times, all I do is make the money. My wife's job is way more important than my job. And I believe that wholeheartedly, with my whole mind, body, and soul, I believe that. I go and I make money and I provide for my family. I help with what she's doing. I'm a support to her. It's my job to make sure she's successful. But she is the one that is actually turning the machine. See? Look, if you're homeschooling and you're doing it correctly, and you have more than one child, and you have time to spend on YouTube, and you have time to spend on Facebook, you are not doing it right. You're not doing it right. You're missing something. You know, think of an analogy like this. You have two mechanics, and they're responsible for maintaining a car. And one guy can do it in 5 minutes. He walks around and he kicks the tires and he's like, it's good, good to go. And then you got the other mechanic who looks at the car and he opens the hood and he looks at the engine and he fixes everything in the engine. He changes the oil and he checks the compression on the cylinders and he goes through that car from bumper to bumper. Which car is going to run the best? The guy that walks around and kicks the tires, he doesn't even know that he missed the entire engine. So if you are getting up as a mother and you're like, I don't really have to work hard because there's nothing to do here, you're missing it. You're missing the engine. Because it's your job to keep that engine going and put that engine together and maintain that engine. That's you know, educating your family, running your home, managing your home is a huge maintenance task. Next, look at Proverbs 31 and verse number 26. She is wise. This woman is not a fool. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, I really appreciate this type of person, and honestly, I strive to be more of this type of person. Because I have met certain people in my life that they hardly say anything. But when they talk, everybody turns and listens. That's the type of person that you want to be. And that's what the Bible is saying here. She opens her mouth with wisdom. She's not just talking just to talk. She's not just spewing, you know, rumors and gossip and silly little things or whatever. When she opens her mouth, this woman has something to say. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. And it's usually something good. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Turn back a few. How does she get wise? She's wise. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. This woman knows what the Bible says. This virtuous woman. So if you want to be a virtuous woman, learn your Bible. Amen. Learn your Bible. She's a counselor to her husband. She's a counselor to him. When she opens her mouth, she has wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. This has saved me from disaster so many times I can't tell you. Because I'm not that kind sometimes. And I'll run things by my wife and I'll be like, what do you think of this situation? I think this is how I'm going to handle it. And she'll just be like, whoa, you know, if you do that, you know, no one's ever going to talk to you again. I'm like, oh, close one. But she's wise, and women tend to have a more kind heart, and this woman has a kind heart. And that's a great balance for a man. And that is a great value to me. And it'll be a great value to you. You know, you want to be a good counselor to your husband. And if you are this type of woman and you speak, your husband will listen. Okay? Now, you say, well, my husband never listens to me. We'll turn to Proverbs 12. If you become this type of person, you become wise, you know the Bible, you have a kind heart, you're in his corner, you're working hard to manage your home, you're doing all these things in Proverbs 31, and then you give your husband counsel, and he says, I'm in charge. Quiet, woman. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 15. The Bible says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. It says that someone who will not listen to the wisdom of someone else is a fool, especially someone who they are supposed to trust in. Okay? So, he will listen to you, is the reality of it. There's a saying that I heard years ago. It says, a leader that doesn't listen will soon be surrounded by people who have nothing to say. Right? If you walk into rooms of people and you're the kind of, and I don't want to get on the guys yet, but basically if you're the kind of person that's not going to listen to anybody, pretty soon people are going to stop giving you advice. They're just going to let you walk in your own ways. And it's going to be the way of a foolish person. Okay? Now, another thing I want to say about Proverbs 31 and verse number 26 is this. Turn to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 19. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. This is the opposite of another type of woman that we see in Proverbs, which is called the contentious woman. Okay, when she opens her mouth, it's with wisdom, and in her tongue is kindness. And in Proverbs 21, verse 19, the Bible says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And let me tell you what, that's true. I've seen that happen too. I've seen men that can't wait to get away from their wife. They literally go out in the wilderness. I've been hunting with guys like this. They're like, I don't want to go back home. I'm like, why? Because, you know, the old ball and chain's back there. I mean, I've seen it personally. Like, they literally go off in the wilderness. These women that are constantly nagging and trying to control their husband. Look, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Don't do it. It doesn't work. He's going to go to the wilderness. He's going to go in the corner of the attic. He's going to go in the garage. He's going to go somewhere and not come back. You know, or not want to come back. You know, this is the woman that's constantly trying to control things. So you say, but he's not doing the right thing, right? He's not doing the right thing, and he's in charge, and if I was in charge, we would do the right thing. Because I'm smart, and he's an idiot. Well, here's how you handle the hierarchy in your life. Because look, I work for people. I have a boss. I've had a boss always. Here's how you handle the hierarchy. If you have an idea or a suggestion, you bring it up one time. Hey, boss, I think we should do it this way, and here's why. Enter wisdom here. And he says, no, we're doing it my way. That's pretty much it. I bring it up. I might bring it up one more time if the opportunity is very in a kind way. But after that, that's it. Look, I work for people. They don't always take my probably half the time. When you suggest something, they take your advice. Other than that, that's just the way it is. There's a hierarchy in everybody's life. So you bring it up in a kind way, and then you let it go. If people don't do it, the answer was no. Maybe they know something you don't know, which is the case probably many times. They know some information that you don't know. But after that, just drop it. That's it. We all have bosses. We all have people making decisions above our heads. It's no different here. Okay, turn to Ruth chapter 3. We're going to get out of Proverbs just for a minute. But that's how you handle the hierarchy. That's a valuable lesson for the men and the women in the room here. It's just there's hierarchy in your life. Handle it in a respectful way. Bring something up one time, and then that's it. Just let it go. That's it. Nagging and complaining and talking, you know, bad behind the boss's back or bad behind your husband's back, it's not going to bring anything good. Okay? Turn to Ruth chapter 3. The last point I want to make about the virtuous woman today is this. And we're going to see this in Ruth chapter 3. But the Bible says, you know, look, the last point I want to make is this. Everyone will know who the virtuous women are. It's something that people can easily see outside, you know, in the world. And the Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 31, the Bible says, give her the fruit of her hands. And then in the last part of that verse, it says this, and let her own works praise her in the gates. People see her works. People know who this woman is. You know, people in the gates see this. We'll talk about the gates tonight. But people in the community, people that she's around, people outside her family, they know that she's a virtuous woman. Look at Ruth. Chapter 3. Here's an interesting thing about Ruth in the Bible. There is only one person in the Bible who is specifically called out as a virtuous woman, and it is Ruth, where the Bible says that she is a virtuous woman. I'm not saying there wasn't any virtuous women in the Bible, but the Bible only specifically calls out one person as a virtuous woman. And if we see in Ruth chapter 3, look down at verse number 9. This is where Ruth goes to Boaz, and she's asking him to marry her, basically, is what she's doing. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, which basically means take me in marriage. You know, say that you will marry me. For thou art a near kinsman. He was one of the nearest kinsmen to her. After her husband had died, the next nearest kinsman has an obligation to marry her. And she says, you are a near kinsman. He wasn't the nearest kinsman that you see that work out in the story. But then Boaz said, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. So if you know the story of Ruth, she came and she was taking care of her mother-in-law, and she was gleaning in the fields. She was working very hard physically. And then Boaz even brings up here, he says, you follow us not after the young men. She was chaste. She was a pure woman. I'm sure there was plenty of young men who were wanting to pursue Ruth, but she didn't do any of that. So she was chaste and she was hardworking. And he said, all the city knows. The whole city knew about this woman and that she was a virtuous woman. Now that's impressive. That's impressive. Go to Proverbs 22. Let's see how this worked out for Ruth. Proverbs 22 in verse number 1. The Bible says this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. So how did this work out for Ruth? Turn to Proverbs 12. You know, she had a great reputation, and that gained her favor with both men and the Lord. And you know how that worked out for her? She became King David's great-grandmother. She became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ because of this story and that she was a virtuous woman. Because all the city saw her works. All the city saw it. And she was blessed greatly by both men and the Lord for being this way. I mean, that is something to strive for. In Proverbs 12 and verse 4, the Bible says this, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. A virtuous woman is like this crown that, because guess what? If I'm walking around town and everyone knows that I have a virtuous woman, that's like a crown to me. I'm extremely, you know, proud of that and supportive of that. But it says she's a crown to her husband, or she can be rottenness in his bones if she's not a virtuous woman. You know, and he can be off in the wilderness hunting for the rest of his life. You laugh. I've literally seen it. I've literally seen men who can't stand to be around their wife. And I'm not saying they don't share responsibility in that, but it's what happens. Look, the more you achieve this standard, ladies, in Proverbs 31, the more your husband's heart will turn towards you. You say, my husband doesn't wear me as a crown. You know, maybe there's two problems. Just like the guy I mentioned. Maybe there's two problems. Maybe he has some problems, and maybe you have some problems. But isn't it best to fix your own problems? Then you'll only have one problem. Right? Fix your own problems. Get in your lane. Stay in your lane. And then you'll be a great influence to your husband. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is the last place I'll have you turn. The Bible says that a woman, a virtuous woman, a woman like this can be such an influence on her husband that even someone who's married to someone who's unsaved can be a great influence on her husband. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 13, the Bible says, and the woman with which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave them. Why? For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. He will be influenced. It's actually the best chance that he will have to get saved. Is his saved wife. I've seen that several times too, in both directions. Look, the power of a virtuous woman should not be underestimated, and I hope that I'm making this clear to you today. She's the engine that drives the home. And she has an enormous, you know, enormous power. You know, so first, you know, the idea for these I have three sermons, and the idea is this. We first build the parts, and then we put it together at the last sermon, and we're going to talk about marriage. So I first wanted to talk. I actually flipped a coin. I was kind of like, do we do the the husband first or the wife first, but it just came out that I felt like that this was such an important piece of the family, we have to talk about this first. The wife, the virtuous woman, has so much power for good or for bad in the family. And if she's a virtuous woman, she can just make things great in a family. Amen. She's the engine that makes it all work. So tonight, since Garrett can't speak, what we're going to talk about is talk about a guy. You know, she's rare. This is a unicorn. She's rare, the virtuous woman. We're going to talk about a guy who found one. He found a virtuous woman. We're going to find out how he did it. How did he do it? How did he find her? So then maybe, you know, we have a chance of finding one, okay? Single guys. Now, the week after this, we'll put it all together and we'll have a sermon on marriage next Sunday morning, okay? So I just want to just get across to you this morning that there's this idea today that women, especially the stay-at-home mom, is something to be looked down on. That is incredibly offensive to me personally. Because my wife and what she does in my home is so important in building the character and the education of my children. And I am in charge of that home, but she is such a blessing and help to me. You think that I could have done what we did when we moved here and got this church started without my wife? No way. The details of the things that my wife and under her leadership, the children have done to even get this church started, I couldn't even begin to explain to you. I didn't do those details. You know, she is the engine that made a lot of this happen. And just because I'm the one directing it, you know, we need to make sure that we understand this engine and this motor that runs these families. And the closer, ladies, you can get to these standards in this chapter, this is such a wonderful chapter for a woman to read. The closer you can get here, the bigger the blessing you will be to your families. Okay? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this message. We thank you for Proverbs 31 and, you know, in the entire book of Proverbs, Lord, just such great wisdom. Lord, we just ask that you bless the women and bless the mothers in this room. Just help them strive to these standards. You know, will any of us ever meet all these standards in your Bible, Lord? No, we won't, but just help us to fix things in our life, Lord, and actually take action to become better every day for our families. Lord, we love you. Bless the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.